Hello, and welcome to The Divined Comedy, the only Dante podcast you'll ever need, ostensibly. I'm Paul Cantrell.
I'm David Fountain.
David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
That's excellent.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Okay.
I'm just swimming, all a flutter with all a twitter with things to say to you today.
Okay, great.
I don't even know where to start, really. So let's start with you've had a crying baby all day, yes?
I've had a crying baby all day long.
Was she? Let me ask you this: when she's crying, or babies in general, but let's focus on this specific baby that is your baby.
That's the one I know the most about, for sure.
Are they crying about something necessarily?
Yeah, I think most of the time it's like they're crying because they're hungry, or they need to be changed, or they need to be burped, or they're tired.
And these are different cries, yeah.
Well, at this stage, it's really just like, I mean, it's kinda all just like one loud cry.
Yeah, fair.
At all times.
All right. Just curious.
Yeah. I think she'll develop multiple cries maybe.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just kind of insane. It's just relentless.
With the crying?
Yeah.
Enough with the crying already, kid.
Yeah. Come on. You've got a good.
Work with me here.
pretty starving plush. Children. They're starving children. And
pretty plush. Are you already starting in with on that guilt trip?
Yes, of course. White guilt. Learn it, kid.
Can't start until you're, what is she, 3 months now? 3 months and change, something like that?
Three and change, yeah.
Yeah, getting up there. So, yeah, the more you know.
Man, I didn't have.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, buddy.
Hold on.
It's okay. You've had a busy.
Okay, say it again.
Hey, the more you know. My man. Just use that in lieu of everything now.
There she is.
There we go.
There it is.
Did you link them together now? Are they forever joined?
Everything should just end with the more you know.
What else was I going to tell you? Oh, got a random thing. Got stung by a bee.
Okay. Are you allergic? You're not allergic to bees or anything.
I mean,
right?
I guess in a local kind of way.
In keeping
with the times, you know.
Okay.
Everything's local
makes
these
sense.
Days. Yeah, my finger, like, it's still swollen. It's been, like, going on.
What kind of bee was it?
I think it was a honeybee.
Oh, a honeybee.
It was inside my domicile, my place of residence.
Why was it in your domicile?
I have no clue. It must have walked in with me. I don't really know. But I got home late. It was a late night.
Yeah.
They were working your boy hard.
You had a late night.
Got home, was about to kind of like unwind, sit, have a seat at the desk.
Right.
And I feel something on my back. I think, okay, it's just the tag on my shirt, you know.
Right.
And then a second later,
Hawaiian shirt.
Hold on. Naturally. I mean, look at me.
Of course.
Do I have to retire the Hawaiian shirts after Labor Day? Like, is that like a thing? Like, even
I don't know.
Wearing white after Labor Day?
I don't know.
Seems like Hawaiian shirts would be even more egregious.
We are going to a wedding the day before Labor Day, I think.
Yeah, or just that weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, 2 days before. But I'm absolutely wearing a seersucker suit.
Nice.
Like a boss.
I thought you were going to say baller.
Oh, either way.
Either way. Any which way, but I don't know. That's going to be a hot one, though, man.
Yeah.
Rob Thomas style, because you're going to be performing in that wedding. So bear that in mind.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good point. I'll probably just wear, I don't know.
Or just, change I'll it, change your outfit.
I'll throw something together.
Wardrobe change. Tank top. I'm just putting that out there.
There it is.
Boom. Tank top wedding. And then I, and the time it takes me to kind of like fling, I realize this is an insect, and I go to fling it like onto the desk to get it off of my finger, and it just stings me immediately. Like
on your finger.
Right on the side of the top knuckle of my, left index finger, bro.
So did you see what kind of bug it was?
Yeah. It was a, it was a honeybee, I'm pretty sure.
Honeybee. Okay, I mean, you said that.
What is it? Entomologist? What's the word?
Entomologist.
That sounds like it's a medical thing. I'm not a beekeeper.
Wait. Entomologist. Yeah, entomology is bees. Etymology is words.
Sure.
ENT.
Entomology is the study of pastries.
An ENT is an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
An EMT, however,
is
an emergency medical trafficker.
Right. EBT is...
Sure. Those like food stamps, right?
Food stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BET. I don't need to tell you about that.
Yeah. Bet.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I got stung and I'm...
BTO.
That's like a whole genre of rock, right? Would you say that's dad rock too? BTO.
Oh, yeah.
Grand Funk R.
Oh, yeah. G-Funk Railroad. That's definitely dad rock.
I was doing a surprising amount of research on Earth, Wind, and Fire today. I think we'll get to it later in the canto.
I'm excited for that.
Just hold me to that because I got a lot of ideas in the popper today.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm interested in hearing. I'm interested in hearing your takes on that.
Well, my initial take was What's missing from this equation? Earth, wind, fire?
Heart, water.
Heart was your first one?
Yeah, heart.
The band Heart?
No.
Oh.
No, not
Heart. Well, Heart's not like an element, is it?
Have you ever seen Captain Planet?
No.
Oh, okay.
To be fair.
Well, there you go.
There's also a fifth element we'll get to when we start talking about your boy Plato. But anyway, yeah, this thing stings me like a little bitch.
Uh-huh.
And then
I don't think honeybees sting.
No, it stung me because I
don't think it was a honeybee.
I did a lot of one-handed research, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
Not what I
meant. That does not sound like what I think you wanted to
sound like.
No, because
my hand was all swollen
like.
From the bee sting.
Right, okay.
Get your mind out of the gutter, David. Yeah. No, so I go tearing into the bathroom because honestly, when's the last time you've been stung by a bee? I haven't stung by a bee in like 30 years.
I got stung by a bee like a year ago.
Oh, well, you had to one up.
It sucked.
But yeah, this sucked too. It hurt like a bitch. And I'm finally home and just want to relax. And now this is happening. It's like the second I walk in the door.
Right.
And so the only thing I can remember is I got stung by a bee when I was a kid. We were pulling up to the pool down the street. And Don Marschke, God love him, Don Marschke, the manager of this place.
Marschke.
He goes running, like literally leaping over people sunbathing on this like little hill. And he was running down to the snack bar to get a tube of toothpaste to put on it. So I think, all right, I guess toothpaste is what you do, right? Because it's got baking soda in it. Ostensibly,
okay,
I don't know.
Okay.
So I run to the bathroom. First thing I think to do is I unscrew the tube of toothpaste, put it on there. It doesn't do a damn thing.
Right.
By the way. I pull my phone out of my left pocket with my other hand. So
right.
Got that in the mix now. And then I'm talking to Siri about what to do. And this is like straight out of Arrested Development. She thinks I'm saying beads with a D. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me. I'm in so much pain right now.
Beads?
So I'm just literally yelling at Siri like she's a person. Like, Siri, I got stung by a bee. What do I do? What do I do? And it comes up with all this. Like, I guess when they sting you, they leave the stinger in.
Yeah.
And then it actually takes out the bottom part of their digestive tract, I guess. So they die within minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this thing's just like bumbling around literally
around
my like lampshade or whatever for a few minutes. And then I just find it on the floor and I just put it out of its misery. And that was the end of it. But now like 3-4 days later, I'm still dealing with this thing. I didn't think I was going to be able to play music.
Really? That bad?
It was that bad. Yeah. I couldn't bend it. I can just now bend it almost all the way. But that's just in the last 24 hours. It's crazy. Just a little thing like that. And I'm like a decent sized dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're a man of average height and build.
And build, yeah. Right. As we've established. That's a weird callback. I like it. Yeah. That little thing, that little amount of poison completely put that finger out of commission for like days. That's insane to me how strong that is.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's the little things, bro.
I don't know, man.
But I'm gonna rise up. I want to take the high road.
You should.
I'm gonna play those songs.
Yeah, don't you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry.
When
about
they
it.
Go low, I go high, I always
That's
say.
That's right. That's right.
Michelle Obama said that.
She did.
She did. I have so many other things to talk to you about.
What else?
Well, some of it has to do with the actual book, but that'll be later.
Right.
What else has been going on?
There was an eclipse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I missed it.
You missed the eclipse?
I mean, I missed going with you to see it
right.
in person.
Yeah,
My
family has a house in North Georgia that we've had for a long time that just happens to be in the dead center of the umbra, the totality, the path of the totality. So we went up there, me and Nasty Nate.
Nate was in the mix?
Nate was in the mix.
Nice.
It was good times. A couple other folks, Kara.
Very nice.
Yeah.
When you were in the umbra, were you wearing your umbros?
No.
Mm,
no,
missed,
I
missed opportunity. Were you holding an umbrella?
No, that would have defeated the purpose of...
Were you reading Umberto Eco?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
Name of the rose?
Of course.
Nailed it. Nice. So it was pretty cool, huh?
Pendulum. Yeah.
just never mind this eclipse that's happening. Can somebody give me a flashlight? It's really something got really dark here.
This guy has some interesting thoughts on fascism. And I'm
just I'm just standing in the middle of these woods. Just taking it all in.
I got stories about the eclipse.
Yeah, are they like suitable for air? Are they NSF dubs?
And we had a good time. Clark came.
Your child?
Yeah. She's wearing her NASA onesie. It was great.
I love
the
NASA onesie.
yeah. But she so my parents were up there and my dad's childhood friend was there and he's retired now and so he is an amateur astrologer? Astronomer?
I think astrology is like your signs of the zodiac.
Right. Okay.
Your earth, your wind,
amateur
your fire.
Astronomer. Right. Yeah. Your heart. So he's got this like incredible setup that's like these solar telescopes. It's insane.
What are the odds?
So we have that set up in the middle of the field. It's clear all day. With 10 minutes to go, all of a sudden the clouds come out of nowhere and cover the sun.
Oh, no.
So me and Nasty Nate get in the car and fucking drive north. and like I forgot my wallet, and we're driving like 70 down a 2-lane highway with like the sunroof open, and Nate's like sticking his head out, and he's like, "We gotta go west. We gotta go west."
You're like, so like Twister. You're like, yeah, you're like storm chasers.
We're storm chasers. So we get to a spot where. And like it's finally like a minute till the eclipse is going to happen. So we just pull over in this parking lot and we're watching and it gets like super dark and it's totally covered and we can't see anything. And then it's like depressing. And then all of a sudden the clouds part and you can see the corona
yeah.
for just a second. And then it looks like the eclipse ends and mm-hmm. it was just like the opening, the sky opened up.
Oh, like it rained?
No.
Oh, like
no,
the clouds parted. Okay.
The clouds parted, and then like the moon moves a little bit, and it just went from like not quite pitch black, but it was dark.
Wow.
It was like 9 p.m. in the summer. Dark.
Okay.
And then it went to like within about 30 seconds, it went to noon. It was crazy.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Wait, so you just completely ditched your dad's friend, I guess, right? You just left them in the field with them?
Well, he I'm just kidding. No, he actually drove somewhere too.
Oh, okay.
And like was able to see it.
Oh, that's good.
But then we found out that everyone who stayed in the field also saw it, and they actually probably saw it better than us.
Oh, really?
Which was disappointing.
Well, you had to make the call though, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuz you want to miss it completely.
Those we had that awesome like storm chasing.
Yeah, that's wild. Experience. I love picturing that. I wish I'd been there for that. Oh, man. I wish I'd been there for it.
I think it was like Kenny Loggins or something.
Oh, you have to.
But it wasn't even Danger Zone. It was like House of Pooh Corner. It was just whatever was on the radio.
Oh, well, that's
yeah.
less energizing, I guess. But, I mean, hey, whatever you're into.
Yeah. It was cool, though. It was cool.
Whenever I call you. That thing.
Whenever I call you, friend.
I'm glad that you and Nate had that experience. Bonding moment, you know.
Yeah, a good time.
Lord knows you and I have had enough bonding moments already.
Yeah,
you know?
We're fine.
We're lousy with them.
Yeah.
So I was up late again the night preceding the eclipse and woke up and just thought, I'm not trying to deal with like all this traffic. And I don't want to be stuck in traffic during it because I really didn't know what to expect.
Oh, yeah.
So I just had to make the call.
It took everyone, when they were leaving, 3 hours to go about 5 miles.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Because it's a 2-hour drive just in normal traffic, right?
Yeah, and it took 5 to get home.
That's nuts. Right. Yeah, I couldn't have done that. But what I did do, I got some calls from some old friends. And they actually also didn't have any my glasses. I didn't have any glasses.
Okay.
So I dropped that one a lot that day, my glasses.
My glasses,
I used that steadily.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe too much. Probably too much.
Pulling a Velma? Yeah.
My glasses. But had some friends just call up and say like, hey, do you want to go on the roof? You know, because –
Yeah, sure.
Because there's
a rooftop.
I mean technically everybody has a rooftop. But I mean
– Your building has a flattened roof.
A deck. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a deck up there.
So and he happened to have some glasses, which is really cool. So he came by.
Okay.
And honestly, I thought the main reason I thought, oh, I'll just stay here. I live in what is 97%?
Right. Yeah.
Covered by the eclipse. 97%, 100%, potato, potato, whatever. I'm fine with 97. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Totally different thing, it turns out. Like you really, that's last 3%. I mean, we are the 97%.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know what that means in that context, but you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really just got kind of yellow. It was like a Coldplay video, yeah. It was all yellow.
Oh, my God.
It was like I walked out on the deck, and the first thing I did was I channeled Daniel Faraday from Lost.
Of course.
So the light doesn't scan quite right.
Right, yeah.
It's weird. It's like you're stuck in an Instagram filter, if that makes any sense. It's like – it's this uncanny artificial sunset feeling. And everything feels a little bit off. It's like
– Yeah, right.
It's also kind of like – this is weird, but like – I remember in the past, you ever like look inside of like a smoker's lounge in an airport, and it's got this kind of weird yellow haze.
Yeah, because the window's got like the tar and
it's
stuff.
It's weird.
Built up.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's gross.
It's just it's like you stepped into a weird lung. That's a gross image, but
stepped into a clear lung,
like the pod in Spinal Tap. it was just very strange. And honestly, I could have easily missed it because. If I'd just been driving around, I would have thought, like, oh, the light's kind of weird today. But, like, had someone not handed me glasses and said, hey, like, look up at the sun with these on, I wouldn't have noticed. Because even when it was the closest to being covered, I mean, a buddy pointed out, like it happened so quickly, even the areas like Buckhead, for example, if it already happened there or whichever way the sun was moving, mm-hmm. whatever neighborhood was next, that place has already been like kind of re-illuminated. And so
yeah.
if you're looking out there, like it's not – I mean, I guess you would have to be in a pretty localized, like kind of enclosed space to experience it in that kind of singular way, I guess.
We had the totality – I think it was 2 minutes 37 seconds. It's pretty wild.
Did you hear cricket? Like, did it confuse the animals and stuff? Like they predicted?
You know, I didn't even think to listen.
We probably would have noticed. I mean, were you in the woods?
Ish. I mean, we were on like a 2-lane highway and like pulled off into a furniture store parking lot. You know, what was really weird is there were like these cargo trucks that were just like still driving, but they had to like turn their lights on.
Oh, that was weird.
At 2:30 in the afternoon, it just seemed really weird.
That is odd. After they called the dentist, right?
Well, obviously.
2:30.
I tried to make that joke yesterday – or during the day before the eclipse. I was asking what time the eclipse was and they said 2:30. And I said, oh, I can't. I'm going to have to miss it. I already have something. And then I didn't have the phrasing down for how to complete the joke. And then I was like, I have to go to the dentist.
What are some other – I've used that one a lot over the years. Yeah. What are some other times of day? So 4:30, going straight spin doctors, right?
Yeah.
4:20,
yeah.
Inevitable weed reference.
Uh-huh.
Which like, come on, guys, with the weed references, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's 4:20. Like, what am I, in high school?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even smoking weed in high school.
324, 325, somewhere in there is – I'm sorry, no 30. 34, 35 is 25 or 6 to 4.
What?
You know the Chicago song, 25 or 6 to 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a weed reference also?
No, it's 25 or 26 minutes until 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that. I think someone once told me that that was a reference to like where they were going to rehearse that day. Like there was one person lived at like 25 something lane and then the other person lived at 624 something lane. But your thing makes way more sense.
The lyrics are like waiting for the break of day.
Oh yeah, and it's about like a bad it's like a bad acid trip or something, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor, 25 or 6 to 4.
Tell you that Peter Cetera loves his drugs.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know about
probably.
Cetera.
Who knows?
I tell you he is the man who no, I'm not going down that road. That was the first tape I ever got, Karate Kid 2 soundtrack.
Glory of Love.
Glory of Love was on there. Mm-hmm. Rocking Around the Clock, I think. Bill Haley in the comments, wasn't that a guy?
Yeah.
Karate Kid 1 soundtrack, not a big hit, I don't think.
Yeah,
you're the best around.
I didn't. Oh, is that on? Yeah,
it would have to be on there. I would think.
Well, I didn't know. I don't think they knew that they had lightning in a bottle. I don't think they knew that Pat Morita, did he win an Oscar for that?
I would be shocked.
Or he was nominated.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, to be fair, he's come a long way from Mickey Rooney in was it Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah,
that old racist
Pat Morita
role
Oscar. Am I just totally wrong about this?
If you had told me a year ago when we started this Dante podcast that we would be looking up whether Pat Morita won an Oscar.
He was nominated for Best Actor in a Supporting Role for The Karate Kid, 1984.
Got the nom.
Yeah, got the nom, got the neg. Yeah, unfortunately. It's a nom-neg situation.
Classic sitch.
Oh, boy.
I feel like I had all this other stuff to talk to you about, but it's kind of escaping me at the moment. It's just been such a frenetic, frantic dash to Labor Day.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've been trying to get it in, but I'm kind of stoked for autumn. Are you excited about the fall?
I'm just ready for the heat to end because it's been like heat index of like 98 or higher every day down here for
– straight up Nick Lachey in this piece.
That's right. It's 98 degrees, baby.
Got it.
You know what another time is? 3:11.
Oh, that's good.
9:11 is also one.
Too soon?
No, well,
I'm in 3:11. Did you just get a...
I got an email.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, so we have rehearsal for this wedding band thing that we're doing.
Which sounds like a wedding ring. Isn't that what they call it, the ring, the wedding band?
Yeah, okay.
Wedding group.
And I have my fantasy football draft will be taking place at the same time.
Oh.
I just got an email reminding me.
Oh.
So I'm going to just have my phone out just on the sly. You'll know. But no one else will.
You're very good at using your phone on the sly. I mean, I've had entire lunches with you where you're pretty much on Twitter the entire time. So this is what you train for.
I've been on Twitter a lot recently.
Yeah.
I got Moon Pies verified, though.
What does that mean?
Moon Pie. You know the company, the snack cake?
Oh, yeah. You got them verified?
They made some tweet about some hostess snack cake bullshit said that they were the official
probably Entenmann's classic.
Yeah, they said that they were the official snack cake of the eclipse, and Moon Pies retweeted it with "lol, okay,"
because they're Moon Pies.
Yeah, so then I started a hashtag #VerifyThePie.
Seriously?
And, yeah, and got like 1,000 likes on it.
That's crazy.
And then like they were verified later that day.
That's insane.
And Moon Pies tweeted at me.
Moon Pies, if you're out there, shout out.
Moon Pies tweeted at me.
What are you looking for
said,
here?
We did it.
What if you just – that is a feather in your cap, sir.
Isn't it?
That is a
– it's like the most random feather that you can possibly have.
In,
like,
in a lifetime of achievement.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's up there. I'm not going to lie. It is
up
there.
Put that on the resume. I would put that on the Twitter bio immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Didn't get a follow.
Are you – really?
Yeah.
It's cold-blooded. Now we gotta get you verified, bro. Or are you already verified?
I'm not.
What do you need? Like 25,000 people?
It's not the number. It's like, is your account of like public interest?
Oh.
And the band is verified. So I feel like I should be too.
Well, you're bona fide, if nothing else.
I'm certainly bona fide.
But you don't get that check mark.
Yeah, I gotta get that check.
It's all about the checks. Hey, maybe the check's in the mail. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The check's in the mix.
Nicely done.
Oh, my God.
Checks in the Republic?
No. I went to the drugstore the other day. I was at CVS. And I just happened to look at the aisle where they have like pet treats and pet food.
Yeah.
And they had like some cat treats. And it was like whatever. But the whatever the brand was, I don't know, like Meow Mix or
sure.
whatever. But then the specific product was called Party Mix.
Sizzling.
Like, this is like special occasion.
I'm gonna do this Party Mix, yeah.
Put out a little party mix for the cats.
Like, I can understand Hostess being – like, if you're having a party, like a cat party. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hostess would be the preferred snack cake there because they're hosting it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're the
absolutely.
Hosting with the mostin'.
Yeah.
I saw a sign today. It said, curb your dog, fine or suffer – it didn't say suffer, but
right.
we will levy a fine of $25 to $250.
Is that dependent on the size?
That's my question.
Yeah.
I'm just going, what are they? What is the
repeat offenders? It's repeat offenders. I'm almost certain.
That's 10 times. That's like I say, I might give you $1. I might give you $10. I might give you $1 million. I might give you $10 million. That's a huge spread.
Wait, are you going to give me money?
Wait, no.
Okay.
I mean, let's see what the dog does out there, you know?
Yeah.
Don't count her out.
Huh.
I don't get that. I don't get that whatsoever.
I don't either.
I guess you're probably right. It probably is. Then I was thinking like dog shit. Sorry, uh-huh. I'm cussing on the air,
that's,
everybody,
yeah.
But I'm hot on the mic.
Fecal matter.
People say dog shit. They'll say bullshit or
uh-huh.
horse shit.
Right.
They don't say cat shit. Nobody says, like, cat shit. Like, I'm calling cat shit on that.
Yeah.
But they will say bat shit, but only when it's referring to craziness.
Yeah.
What's going on with this shit?
Huh.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what's going on with this shit, but I do think it's a fecal matter.
I like when they do like the fancy Latin spelling where it's like fecal.
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 So like F.
It's like an O-E diphthong thing or whatever.
What's the A and the E tied together called?
That is complicated because in Latin it's different than – like in Old English it's called ash.
Okay.
And it's – if I'm remembering this correctly from grad school, and it's pronounced a.
Uh-huh.
Like a short A.
Right.
But in Latin, I think it's usually pronounced I. Like at the end of a word. Like if it's, I don't know, like, what is it? What am I thinking of? Why can I only think of epididai? I don't even
know
if that's a word. I've been doing a lot of weird research recently. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I've been reading up on Plato.
Yeah.
I've been reading up on bees. Like a lot about bees.
A lot
recently.
About bees.
Well, because I really need my finger to be like back in fighting shape.
There's a lot of stuff in the news about bees.
I mean, in my personal
colony collapse
in the newsfeed of my heart.
Uh huh. Yeah.
In my actual personal life. No, colony collapse. Oh yeah, because the bees are leaving us, right?
Yeah.
Somebody told me about the bees. I think they're like the Africanized ones, or like they're the really deadly ones.
Uh-huh.
The ones that they'll sting you, and then as they sting you, they release a pheromone that makes all the other ones also want to sting you.
Oh my God!
And the hive will just descend upon you, and God have mercy on your soul. They will follow you around
Jesus.
For like miles. Isn't that nuts? Don't they have better stuff to do? Another thing, though, is that –
they're bees.
I mean, I just say let it be.
I agree. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you. I think that – I just coined that. Did you know that?
It's great.
Thanks. I should write it down.
I know exactly what you meant.
The worker bees, I guess, don't reproduce, and so they have, like, nothing to lose.
Okay.
Which is kind of sad.
That's very sad.
They defend the hive, I guess. But it's like they don't – I don't know. I guess like they don't really care. Like they go on this kamikaze mission. Like, but that bee stung me for what? I was just trying to, like, get it off my back.
Yeah.
Literally. I'm glad it stung me on my finger and not my neck, though. That could have been dangerously close to the jugular and the carotid.
Right.
You don't want that swollen up, you know?
You don't want
– yeah. Your boy could have died.
I don't think you would have died.
Like a med alert bracelet. One of those things.
What's it going to say on there? Scared of bees.
Well, this is another callback. He died doing what he loved.
Oh, yeah. Anaphylactic shock. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We should probably – are we taking a break or are we just blessing through?
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
All right.
And we're back. We literally just paused it and jumped right back in. I don't know. Why do we bother taking a break if we're just going to turn it back right back on?
I think it's nice to break it up a little bit.
That was nice. Yeah. It's good to be off air for a second there.
Yeah.
You counted me back in Wayne's World style. That was just a signature move.
Classic.
Real pro.
Yeah. I am. It's cool.
I wish that instead of Kenny Loggins, which I love the log. I mean, that sounded weird.
That sounds very strange.
A lot of inadvertent innuendo today.
Yeah. Nope.
The old log lover. What's the – oh, land lover. That's what I'm thinking of.
Uh-huh.
Is that like you love the land?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you're like not – you're not a full-on sailor?
You're not a sailor.
I had another way I could have gone right there instead of saying sailor, but I didn't go with it because I'm trying to keep this legit.
Uh-huh.
But – so land lover is like – it's like a big insult. Like you don't – you prefer the land to the sea.
Yeah.
It's a weird insult to somebody.
Yeah. Well –
I guess if you're a pirate, I mean, it's –
I mean, if you're a pirate, it's one thing. But like –
if it's a pirate's
life
for you.
It's not like humans like evolved to live on the ocean.
Not yet.
Not yet. I mean, we don't have gills.
Yet.
Right. I mean, we do have Gilberts.
Thank God.
Gottfried and Sullivan. Gilbert from Revenge of the Nerds. The big three. Gilbert. Dilbert's girl.
Wait, Dilbert, the cartoon character Dilbert, has a girlfriend named Gilbert?
Probably.
Sarah Gilbert.
Sarah Gilbert. There it is.
There it is. Boom. In doing – this is a weird – so last week we were talking about kind of very briefly, not even really like a full-on nod to the Lost City of Atlantis. And then today I stumbled upon another reference to Atlantis. In this book, I brought the Timaeus with me.
Yeah.
Because factors into the canto in some ways.
Oh, yeah. That's where I knew that word from.
Timaeus?
Timaeus. Yeah. That's where Plato talks about the fall of Atlantis.
Yeah. I think so. I didn't really read that much of it.
Oh.
Not to be confused with your boy Timmy S. Timmy Sheldon. I don't know.
Okay.
Noted intellectual. I have no idea. I just made that guy up. Let's get to the book so that if only to have said that we did it.
Okay. Canto 4.
Oh, yeah.
Still the first heaven, the sphere of the moon. Dante's two questions. Beatrice's first answer, the true place of the souls in the Empyrean. How their appearance in lower spheres is suited to Dante's limited apprehension. Her second answer, violence and unfulfilled vows, absolute and relative will. Dante's further query, Beatrice's dazzling gaze.
That signature dazzling gaze... That patented look. So this is basically like a recap episode, right? Or a recap canto.
Yeah, there's no – the plot doesn't really advance.
Yeah, she's kind of unpacking what just happened because Dante's got some questions about what Picardo Donati said to him.
Correct.
Which is that – I don't know why someone would listen to this episode before the previous one. But if you're just joining us, I guess, in episode 70, whatever, she basically says that she doesn't get jealous. She's not really sweating the others.
Right.
Because she is as blessed as she can possibly be. We talked about pint pots, quart pots, that whole thing. She has her station, but she's in the lowest heaven or the slowest heaven or whatever they call it. But she's good. She's not really – she harbors no rancor toward the people in the higher spheres.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's confused, right, because – do you remember – you just read – I read this last night. Do you remember what his first question is –
I think his first question is about the the souls that he's seen.
Yeah, she says she'll answer his most insidious question first, which I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what his question about them – or I think it's like he feels like there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like they're going upwards and they're seeing people. So, you know, why is there a hierarchy? And she's explaining that they're not really there. It's kind of a figment of your imagination because that's the only way that you can understand that everyone is actually up in the highest heaven, but some of them are actually more blessed than others.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. It's kind of like a simulacrum almost, or it is actually a simulacrum because if you look at the I had to revisit this last night, the actual image that Barry Moser does at the end of this. So you've got the moon. I'm kind of pointing this to David, but you can look at it in the book if you want people listening. Moon, Mercury, Venus, and so on. And then at the very top, there's the Empyrean, which is just like it kind of unfolds like a – it looks like a rose essentially. And we'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. But I guess the idea is this is the only way for him to kind of wrap his puny little brain around this.
So what page is that thing on?
That is it doesn't really have a number. It's right before the notes start.
Okay. It's at the back.
Yeah.
Cool.
They're kind of appearing to him here. It's kind of the same – what's an example? I can't place the reference, but it's a thing where like an alien or somebody comes to visit
– Alf.
Let me finish. And they say like, no, like this is not what like if you're not seeing me in my normal form. You're just seeing me as like I'm appearing to you as like a man in a suit or whatever. But, you know,
right, yeah.
I can't think of what the reference is. But it's not Doctor Who necessarily.
No, there's that's the way it is with the concept of Men in Black and also in the movie Men in Black.
Okay.
It's sort of these alien creatures.
Life forms?
These alien life forms that are sort of like these almost like very obviously uncomfortable kind of slimy, watery people in suits.
Oh, yeah. And there was a Doctor Who episode, now that I'm thinking of it, early on in the reboot where they took over 10 Downing Street, I guess. They took over the Prime Minister's office.
Oh, yeah, right.
But they – they were kind of – they dressed and kind of walked and talked as normal people. But
also
they...
Ghostbusters. They choose the form of the Destroyer.
Oh, I didn't – I don't think I remember. Was that Ghostbusters 2?
No. Ghostbusters 1, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Oh. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Wait, the Destroyer?
Yeah. That's what
– I feel like a lot of Ghostbusters went over my head.
That's what Zool is saying to them. Like you – can you choose the form of your destroyer? And they're all sitting there, and then they hear something in the distance, and Dan Aykroyd,
Ray yeah, is he thinks like, of the most innocent thing. Yeah. Yeah, God, you choose the form of your destroyer. Mm-hmm. Is that an actual line from the movie?
I believe so.
That is poetic.
Yeah, well, it's like
let me just think about that for a second.
Uh huh.
You choose the form of your destroyer.
You've seen Monty Python's Meaning of Life, right?
Yeah, but it was a long time ago.
Do you remember that? Like, there's like a man running through a field.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the voiceover is, this man has been allowed to – is condemned to death, but has been allowed to choose his own method of execution.
Yeah.
And he's just being chased off a cliff by topless women.
He died doing what he loved.
Snort.
That's a first. That is good. But wait, I don't like it necessarily, but that's kind of chilling and ominous to me that you choose the form of your destroyer. Like you create your own destruction.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Based on the way you live your life. I don't know. This is getting into like 12-step stuff and I don't know. But
I don't know if it was meant to be more like metaphorical than just like there's a giant marshmallow man.
That was not a metaphor?
I mean, it's
funny that you left the air conditioning on today, and I thought, oh, well, like nobody's going to notice unless there's like a significant lull in the conversation. And like, I didn't know you were going to bring up Stay Puft, though.
That's true.
We'll play a heads up next time.
Stay Puft.
Is that like their motto?
Yeah.
Like Subway, eat fresh. Stay Puft.
All right, we're the Stay Puft Marshmallow Company. We've got to think up a slogan. Got to think of a slogan.
Stop digging. You've struck gold. It was right under our noses all along.
Mm.
But hey, you know, I'm going to think about that. That's interesting to me. I didn't realize that there was that Ghostbusters was so pregnant with meaning.
Ooh, that's gross.
that's the name of somebody's autobiography.
I wanted to pull out some biblical knowledge on this. They're talking about Daniel Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
Why don't you refresh me?
Okay. You got the king, Nebuchadnezzar.
Sure.
Right? I believe this is in Babylon. I believe this is when the Hebrews are enslaved in Babylon.
Babylon 1, right?
What?
The first Babylon.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's Babylon 1. Yeah. Also, Babylon Sisters. Also, Babylon.
I'm really trying to not step on your bit and do a Lubega bit here. Just keep going, please.
Okay. Yeah. So, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, is having this dream. And none of his magicians can figure out what it means.
I love that he has like a team of magicians.
Yeah, he has a team of magicians.
All my magicians are stumped. I don't know. Not a one of them. I don't know what I pay you guys for.
And so he's like sending them to death because they can't.
His magicians?
Yeah, his magicians.
You call yourself a magician?
Yeah. I mean, they're more like wizards, to be fair, because these aren't tricks.
That's better.
They're not illusions.
A trick is something a whore does for money, Michael.
Exactly. So Daniel is like in this jail cell or something.
Yeah.
And he sees this guy being taken to his death, and he's like, hey, why is the king like sending all these people to their death? And he's told why, and he's like, well, I can do it. I can tell him what it was. So they let him out.
Which is ballsy because he sees the concert. I mean, he sees the penalty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just volunteering.
And so he goes up there and says, not only am I going to tell you what your dream means, I'm going to tell you what your dream was.
Oh.
And he's like.
Doubles down.
Yeah. Yeah. This is brazen.
The cajones on this guy.
Yeah. And so he tells him that he dreamt of a large statue and it's like got like a head of gold, like a chest of iron. And it goes down and it's like, but the feet are made of clay. And so he says, what that means is basically you are this thing that you've built is going to crumble. It's going to fall. And Nebuchadnezzar freaks out but says, okay, you are now my most trusted advisor. And then Daniel hires Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
I'm sorry?
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Are these real names?
Yes. Yeah. He like gets them on as – you know,
Shadrach, Meshach,
not Taylor, and Abednego, and then that's.
I swear you were fucking with me on that one.
No. And then it's like actually the Book of Daniel is fascinating, and because
I'm impressed you know all the names.
Daniel in the lion's den. It's also got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are like sent into a furnace to be human sacrifices.
Jesus,
and everyone looks in, and then there's like these other three people in there also, and then so. The three condemned walk out and they're like, yep, there are angels in there. We're fine.
Whoa.
Yeah. Daniel is a crazy book. It's like super like prophetic and apocalyptic. It's cool.
It sounds crazy. Every time you say those three names, I'm picturing Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Or Abednego.
I'm picturing the DuckTales kids.
Huey?
Who we got? We got Huey. What kind of name is
Huey?
Dewey?
Long.
Wait, Dewey, like Howie Long?
Dewey defeats Truman and Louis Anderson.
Louis Louis. Yeah, got it. Boom, got it in one. There's also a human sacrifice reference in the notes to this, which is insane.
I didn't read the notes.
Oh, then I had to read some of these notes because I was pretty confused on some of it. Well, there were a couple of references that were pretty obscure, to me at least. And they're talking about his first doubt, and then he makes a reference to So this note says St. Lawrence, he was a deacon in Rome in like the 3rd century, and somebody ordered him grilled alive, and he was such a badass that while they were grilling him alive, he suggested that they turn him over so that he roast more perfectly.
God damn.
And no, you think that's something. Listen to this. Next guy, there's a Roman citizen, I'm not going to try to pronounce this. Failed in his attempt to kill Porsena of Clusium, probably mispronouncing that, who was besieging Rome. Ordered by Porsena to be burnt alive, Mucius, the citizen who tried to kill him, thrust his right hand into a nearby fire already lit for sacrifices and held it there unflinchingly as he explained to Porsena that one after another the Romans would try to kill Porsena until they succeeded. And the guy was so impressed that he let him go. And then he stopped trying to take Rome. He was like, yeah, probably right. Probably a bad idea.
Oh, my God.
It seems like a kind of sudden change of heart, though. But that's, I mean, imagine the badassery of that moment where this guy is sentenced to death and he immediately just sticks his right hand into a flame and stares you dead in the eye and tells you that basically no one's going to let up until you're murdered. It's pretty nuts. It's like a Gus Fring kind of moment, you know?
Yeah. That's frightening.
That's probably what they had in mind. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff here. There's also this thing with this is where we're just kind of tackling all the references without any of the actual content of the canto, but we'll come back to that in a minute.
Sure.
While I've got the notes open, Alcmaeon, I looked up how to pronounce that, was the son of Amphiaraus. Amphiaraus, whatever. One of the seven against Thebes. Amphiaraus foresaw his death in the war and tried to avert it by hiding from battle, but his wife betrayed him to his enemies. Before dying, he basically got his son to revenge his death by killing his mom.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets complicated because, like, how is that better? It's worse to leave your father's death unavenged than it is to kill your own mother?
Yes.
That's
in this guy's mind,
to me.
Yeah, that's insane.
I guess in the culture, I guess, but that's...
I don't know.
It's really like
not a fan of this.
Six and one, buddy. You know?
Yeah. Plus, like, that kid's gonna have to live the rest of his life knowing that he killed his mom.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
No, it's bad. And this is all, ironically, it was somewhat coincidentally, if nothing else, after all, I mean, this all came about because of the whole Oedipus, that old story.
Oh, yeah.
And again, like, you're dealing with, you know, well, not matricide, but patricide, at least, in that situation.
Patricide and matrophilia?
Yes, to put it lightly. I thought you were going to say something much more coarse than that.
No. I'm a learned scholar.
I was going to make like a mattress firm joke. This is not good.
Please don't.
And please, it's pronounced learned. You idiot. This thing is brought up in terms of basically being in that kind of rock and a hard place situation where they're saying – and then we get into a conversation that's kind of abstract, but they try to explain it as best as they can. Absolute will versus the contingent will, right?
Relative
will.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand the distinction there.
Well, let's use the example that of Picarda. So Picarda, she's in the convent, right? She's becoming a nun, and then her insane – murderer brother comes in, Corso Donati, and says, you're getting out of here. This is me, you know, henchman number one or whatever, and you're going to marry him because I need you to for political reasons.
Okay.
So forget this pipe dream of being a nun. You know, it's time to give back to the family, that kind of thing, that whole kind of speech, you know, as one gets. So I guess they're saying, like, if her absolute will had been strong and fully upright, then she would have, what, refused? Which is insane.
Refused, yeah.
There's no fucking way that he's not going to get what he wants in this
situation.
So the relative
is kind of like – it's kind of like a situational – like the noble thing for her to do would be to refuse until she's, like, killed?
I guess, which is, like, not – that's – I mean, again, like, you have to bear in mind the time when this is being written – vendetta is like totally legal again. Like, so
yeah.
there's the laws are not, I mean, it's very easy for me to look back on this retroactively, you know, 700 years later,
right,
with
yeah.
21st century eyes and say like, that's insane, but it's kind of insane.
It's pretty insane.
It's just, I mean, but it's no less insane than saying like, oh, this kid, you know, it's better for him to murder his mom than to let his dad's death go unavenged because she ratted him out, you know?
Yeah.
That's weird too. I mean, that doesn't seem, I mean, this is ethical quandaries. You know, if there's nothing that I'm, if there's one thing I'm all about,
yeah.
Ethical quandaries. If I said I want to set a million
times. That's always been your thing.
It's really my wheelhouse,
yeah.
My sweet spot. People come to me from all over. Ethical quandaries. Now, that could be a segment.
send your ethical quandaries to Paul. You know what?
Please
send
don't.
Me your ethnic quandaries.
Like an Ancestry.com situation?
I feel like I can toe that line.
What, ethnic
well.
Quandaries? Like,
yeah.
Like what race am I? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Please don't send me these questions. I took a lot of heat. I decided that I was going to get political on Facebook, and which I never do. I just leave that to Twitter, and then on Facebook it's like, hey, how about this weather?
Yeah.
But I said something about the Confederate statues.
Oh, I saw that.
And got a lot of pushback. Actually, only a few people pushed back, but it was all like libertarians and baby boomers.
I saw that, and I thought, God bless you, David Fountain.
Yeah.
Because I looked at it and I saw, wow, this has been going on for like all day, I guess.
Yeah, it was going on.
And just imagining you having to kind of I mean, just thoughtfully engage these people who are friends of yours. I mean, yeah. Or at least acquaintances of yours.
I do want to point out that there's nothing wrong with baby boomers or libertarians.
No,
I just said that, and I don't want that to be taken as like a derogatory.
Oh no, thing. I understand. Okay, okay. I think you're good there. Okay. But yeah, to have to kind of do that verbal, not dance, because that makes it sound like there's some kind of subterfuge or something. But it sounds like gymnastics. Let me put it that way. Verbal gymnastics
I think that's a good way to put it.
And honestly, not only are you engaging with people, you're also moderating people who don't know each other whatsoever.
Yeah.
In a pretty heated political climate.
Yeah.
It's very easy to make presumptions about people to like – I could go on there and some friend of yours that I've never met before could be saying something that I think is completely crazy. And then I could think entitled because I know you, because we have you as a common mutual friend, I don't know. I would never do this, but I think some people get on there and they get a little overconfident. You know?
I just like opened it up later in the day and was like, oh man, my bandmate is totally owning my friend's dad. What's going on? Anyway.
Yeah, it's tough to keep everybody happy. Yeah, I did a thing. I was actually inspired by your online activism.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up – should I tell this story? I'll tell the story. It doesn't matter. So I'm just going to set the book down. I feel like we've done a decent amount of the book today. I woke up and saw that some friends of mine were interested in going to an event at the Krog Street Tunnel.
Okay.
And this event was being organized by very well-intentioned people who were tired of all the hateful rhetoric and tired of, you know, the kind of verbal hedging, just whatever has been said in public about, you know, when certain events should be denounced and have not been denounced as effectively
correct.
As they
okay.
should. Okay. So
yeah.
just
that's as far as you have to go.
Yeah. So I see that they're going to go and paint some inspiring stuff in the tunnel. But mm-hmm. I also see that the logo for this event is a giant swastika kind of behind a Ghostbusters symbol. I texted you about this.
Yeah.
Like, am I crazy or is this like just not a – because at some point if you're painting a swastika inside of a giant Ghostbusters symbol, which by which I mean for people who haven't seen Ghostbusters or didn't – I mean, hey, watch it because it's really beautiful. But it's just a giant red circle.
Beautiful.
No, like, you know, you choose the form of your own destroyer, that kind of stuff. You know,
yeah.
just
yeah.
poetic.
Sure.
Poetically pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I
like the first one. But you texted me asking like a swastika in a Ghostbuster sign is still it's still a swastika.
It's still
right?
At some point you're still like if people drive by and they see you painting a swastika, you
yeah.
Imagine having to qualify that. I'm going to put it in a thing later.
You have to draw the Ghostbusters thing and then
first,
add the swastika.
Yeah, which is kind of putting the cart before the horse though.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
My thing is I still just don't want to see swastikas in general. I want it to become acceptable to see swastikas in general, even if they're stuck behind a thing. Like I know what the no symbol means, but you're still depicting the thing.
Right.
And it's still, and so I go on there and someone
what you're saying is like you ain't afraid of a swastika, but you just don't want to see one.
My point was, and I asked directly and didn't really get a straight answer, it was like, you're not going to like, – please tell me you're not going to go paint a swastika in the Krog Tunnel, right?
Right. And Krog Tunnel is a it's just like a thoroughfare in Atlanta that it's like a free art space and people paint these amazing graffiti murals and stuff.
It's been around since 1912. Yeah. We went to the 100th anniversary. Remember they were recreating the election that November?
Yeah.
Some fantastic local people were involved with that. But I'm not really getting any feedback. And the feedback I am getting is saying like, well, this is really offensive. You get that, right? And somebody said, I think it would really only be offensive to somebody who's a Nazi, which is basically I'm not like taking the bait, but it's like this person's kind of calling me a Nazi.
Yeah.
I also think as much as I'm not cool with being just having swastikas around like in my general landscape, like
mm-hmm. –
because that's a painful personal reminder for a lot of people to have to just casually drive through, or like you're walking by and then you just see this thing. Like whether it's in that symbol or not, if it means, you know, no, we're anti this, you're still depicting it and you're still kind of normalizing it in a way.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe I was overreacting. Who knows? Maybe I was being oversensitive. I don't know. But it was a concern for me. I drive past it every day on the way to work. So I also don't think that it's cool to just start calling people Nazis just because you disagree with them.
I agree.
That's another thing that I've seen. I mean, that's a pretty specific term. Anyway, I don't mean to get all political or whatever, but yeah, that was the thing. I kind of got involved briefly, and I don't know how you do it, man. Because that was just one very specific instance where and it was on Facebook, and I was like, all right, I should probably say something. I'm going to feel – I feel like I'm just kind of incumbent on me to say something. I don't normally get involved with the shit, but you know.
Yeah, in the wake of Charlottesville and everything that –
this is my backyard. You know what I mean?
I just kind of decided that I've not that I've been hedging my bets or anything like that, but I just feel like I want to be more vocal and hopefully in a productive way. And a lot of it has to do with having a kid.
No, I get that for sure. You know? I mean, this is the world that your daughter's growing up in. So.
Yeah, and there, I mean, I think I shied away from things like this for a long time just because I didn't want to insult, like, you know, like my friend's parents who I'm friends with on Facebook.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, and like I don't want to like rock the boat. But like now I'm just – I kind of like – you know, complacency is the enemy of progress.
Yeah. We talked about this a long time ago in – I want to say it was we're doing Canto Quattro today. I think it was Canto 4 of Inferno where they were talking about that conspiracy of acquiescence.
Uh-huh.
That thing that Martin Luther King said about like he would prefer dealing with actual white supremacists than to deal with the kind of suburban middle class who sits on the fence because they're too interested in protecting their own self-interest.
Right.
So they agree that this stuff is wrong, but they're too concerned with protecting what's theirs to mm-hmm. speak out against it. He said, at least with the white supremacists, I know where I stand.
Right.
Anyway, I don't mean to get up on a soapbox. And I also – I'm not implying that like me making a Facebook status or whatever the fuck – I mean that's not – that's hardly like getting out the streets and marching like, or like
we're engaging in that. We are not brave people.
You and I.
But I would like to say for the record, both of us, if I may speak for you, we are anti-Nazis.
Agreed.
Me.
But again, like that – hot takes. Jesus. But again, like that symbol, I mean, that symbol technically means anti-Nazis, but it's still like still putting it out there, you know?
Right, yeah.
And what's to stop somebody from going in and just painting over the Ghostbusters thing?
Yeah.
You know? This is – I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't really
– someone going in there and rebooting Ghostbusters.
It's nothing sacred.
My childhood.
My childhood. With my glasses. My childhood whimsy.
Oh, God.
We should talk about whimsy sometime, too.
Whimsy, I love whimsy.
Whimsy is part of the – don't we all?
Let's make it next
but
week.
Whimsy is part
of – whimsy.
Getting whimsical. What else is there anything else in this canto?
There's something at the very beginning. It opens up with like a thing about like if a sheep is surrounded by two wolves and they're equally afraid of both.
Yeah.
Then like they'll just get eaten because they, you know, like it's like an inaction thing.
Yeah.
Like a piece of metal stuck like equidistant from two equally powerful magnets and it just kind of, you know what I mean?
He does have cool similes.
Yeah. I liked that one and it made me think about like the paralysis of choice.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally. I know exactly what you mean.
But I mean, I think that's its own topic that we could get into another time.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also a thing from last canto where they sing the Ave Maria at the end. I want to talk to you about the Ave Maria next time.
Okay.
But yeah, we're cutting this one a little short, I think, but we gotta make some moves.
Got moves to make.
Yeah, got to go rehearse a few things, actually. So
that break in the middle, I'll just add like 5 minutes of elevator music and then it'll come back.
You're welcome, world. All right, let's get out of here. Our theme song is Hell on You by An English Place. As ever, I am Paul Cantrell.
As David, I am David Fountain.
We'll see you in hell.